On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? Yeah, I'm the Ron Van Dam part of it. Thank you very much. That's why this show is named that. Oh, God. Thank you for being here. Make yourself comfortable. I got a good show for you today. Not that I don't always have a good show. This is going to be really good. All right, here's what I want you to do. Take everything that is normal and common to you, throw it out the window, and expand your mind. Yeah, we're going to do a mind expansion exercise today. We have a topic that's quite interesting. Let's start from the beginning and not at the end, okay? Here we go. First of all, let's look at the big picture, all right? You got a planet that's falling apart at the seams. You've got political systems all over the world that are out to destroy each other. You got people walking around hating each other and dividing themselves into different groups. Things are not wonderful. Anyway, so we're all looking for stuff. We have religion for that very reason, because amongst chaos, you've got to find some excuse for all of this stuff. So we come up with law and order. We come up with morals and all that kind of thing in order to keep us in line, to give us some explanation for all this stuff that's going on around us. And that's part of what religion is. You're spiritual is what you are. You believe in something greater than yourself, because this isn't working out. So there's got to be something greater. How do we even get to this point? How do we even have a planet? So, I mean, that's where religion comes in. And we come up with a supreme being. In various religions, we have our own figures of supreme beings, which supposedly help explain things for us on an existential level. Are you following me at all? Then we look for the second coming, the Messiah. We do this. With most Americans, most people across the world, in every country, bow down or respect or believe in some higher power. Now, so why do we do that? Is it tradition? Is it something that has been taught to us that we've just followed from our ancestors? Or is it indeed our need and want to be saved? Well, that's what we're talking about today, on more of a level of interesting stuff. I don't think you followed a word that I said, did you? It's okay. It's difficult to express this on the air. Most shows just talk about how to grow trees successfully, how to plant bulbs, how to have successful relationships, how to eat properly. Not this show. We go further than that. We try to explain existence. Oh, my God, Ron. Calm it down just a bit, will you? For years on this program, I've been doing this show for about, oh, God, this is awful. I'd say almost 30 years now I've been doing this radio interview stuff. And through those years, I have had conversation with a gentleman in England. Who has since left us, but his son has taken over. And there has been some connection, some reportedly real connection, to a higher being, to being saved, not in a religious sense, but in a physical sense. So we're going to talk to him and a young lady who accompanies him momentarily, and keep an open mind, because I'm telling you, this is how we operate on this planet. We operate with religion, so how different is this? How different is it to take a look at the vast universe, galaxies, the deepness of space, the continuum, and actually say we're the only people, we're the only planet where there's any kind of life? You know that's absolutely impossible, that we would be the only one. And you know that we've advanced so much over the centuries, technologically, that somewhere else, perhaps that advancement is even beyond what we can even comprehend. Have there been visitations to our planet from other locations in deep space, from other civilizations, other galaxies? It's not something we can comprehend, really, because we don't have that technology or understanding, which may be available to another civilization somewhere else in this vast universe of which we live. People see strange things in the sky, UFOs, whatever. That's been going on since, oh my God, since we even recorded history, when they were doing the hieroglyphics and cave people, sprawlings on etching into the caves, always depictions of something coming out of the sky, unexplicably. So let's keep an open mind to all of this, and in doing so, we're going to speak to our guests. They're going to join us now. Let's say hello. Felicity Elliott and Julian Cram joins us. We've talked to them before. This is fascinating conversation. Let's start, for those that may not be familiar with what we're talking about just yet. Julian, your father had an experience, and it all started from there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he was from a very early age interested in Eastern philosophy, esoteric teachings, and so on. And he learned about that group of people called the Masters, who are actually just ordinary men and women who have gone ahead of us, evolved their consciousness to the point where they are actually masters over themselves. Mm-hmm. Not masters over us, but masters over themselves. They've conquered their personality, nature, and stay behind to help the rest of us to that point.
Yes.
And he was in telepathic contact with one of these masters and received a lot of information and teachings from him, mm-hmm. which he spent 40 years traveling the world talking about.
Yes. And these are, to clarify it somewhat, these are more sophisticated human beings as far as their abilities, their intelligence, etc. Some people think that they were influenced or actually came from somewhere other than this world, but they are highly advanced, and they are planning to appear when they can be accepted, in order for all of us to understand the world and our existence and our planet. It couldn't come at a more opportune time. And every time we talk, I always say that, but it always seems like it's now even more opportune with the planet in jeopardy as far as environment is concerned and its own existence, and the political environment, not only in the United States, but in England and in other countries where everything seems to be turning on top of itself, confusion, hatred, division, and opinions of just destroy things. It's needed more than ever, but at the same time, as one who sits here, you always wonder, when will this actually occur, because we need this so badly. That's, I guess, the overriding question.
Yeah, indeed. Ron, everything you've said is such a good summary of what's going on in the world at the moment. But we must remember, of course, that we're sort of transitioning from, let's say, an older stage and a way of doing things. People call it the age of Pisces, the age that's just passing, and we're going into a new age. And this actually means that we're changing our consciousness. And Benjamin Graham always used to really highlight and emphasize the fact that there is not only one Son of God. We're all divine somehow or another. So we're talking not about a religion, but spirituality, let me put it that way. And the masters are waiting to come out. And as you said, things seem to be very let's say there's a lot of turmoil. At the same time, there's a huge amount of great things happening in the world. And you mentioned, I think, the climate problems. And, of course, we see the response of millions and millions of people around the world to those issues. Right. So people are really waking up. Same way, politically, people are waking up. Look at, in the States, great movements now and throughout the world, people really demanding change. And I think that it is the world teacher, Maitreya, the new Buddha, the new Christ, the new Messiah, who is waiting to come out as soon as humanity makes the necessary changes. And America is such an amazing, powerful, influential country. And Benjamin Graham and his master used to say, the world is waiting for the soul of America.
Yeah.
The highest aspect of American life, the soul of America, to come to the fore, and when it does that, it will make an extraordinary change to the world, because that soul aspect of America can influence the world to the good.
Well, that's,
you know, the ordinary neighborliness of Americans, the good-heartedness, the genuine, and really the basis, the core of American life and nature is goodwill, is loving kindness towards others. I know it doesn't show at the moment politically. That is the nature of all of us, and Americans have it within their power to really make a huge difference to the history of the world.
Extremely well said. There's always that fine line where has it gone too far to the point where it's too late to appear to make these changes because everything has tipped so far. In other words, there's a scale, and when it tips too far on the other end, sometimes the scale can't go back. That's my concern. Is like what how long does one have to wait? I mean, obviously, countries, citizens and countries are rebelling against what they're seeing to be incorrect, visibly incorrect now. They are starting to do that. But in doing so, the longer it takes, the more destruction occurs.
Yes. It's a balancing act.
It is.
a very fine balancing act. Yes. And I'm glad it's not my job to have to weigh up all the factors. But I think Maitreya and the masters are waiting for the point where, how can I put this, where they can appear, they can emerge into a world which is ready. The conditions have to be right. The conditions have to be present that that will ensure success of the mission. That
I
means
understand.
that there's no
I understand
insurmountable
that.
Opposition.
Right. Yeah.
And one, looking at the world, one would think that at the moment there's huge opposition to in the reactionary forces are holding on for dear life. And
I understand.
When those, there have to be enough people demanding these changes, and that's growing, obviously, around the world. But there must come a point where that voice is loud enough to ensure that Maitreya's ideas will be accepted widely. People say his timing is perfect. Of course, his sense of the of the timing is perfect, but it depends on humanity.
Yeah.
It depends on humanity responding to these ideas of the need for sharing, for a more equitable distribution of the world's resources among people.
But Jillian, by the time that occurs, then everything will be again on the right track already anyway, because we already overturned it on our own. Of course, that would be the time when that emergence would be accepted. But at that point, we've already turned that tide. We've already started to correct.
Yes, it's a what we call a chicken and egg situation.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Yeah,
we humanity have to do enough.
Yeah,
but we need the help at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, yes. Let me ask Felicity, how did you get involved in this? I mean, I know your backstory, but tell us how you got involved.
Yeah, I was looking for, from most of my life, actually, I've been sort of looking for meaning and seeing that the standards and the ideas, the criteria by which people live really didn't suit me in a way. I mean, you know, it seemed superficial. I couldn't quite see what meaning there was to a lot of the ideas that, let's say, popular culture or everyday life seemed to provide. And so I read about all sorts of things, and eventually I was very, very fortunate enough to come across an advert which talked about the World Teacher. And it really didn't make intellectual sense to me, but I really had a very, very strong sense and an urge that I should attend a lecture, which I went to. That was at a friend's house in Euston Road in London, and that was in 1976. And I sat down slightly late and listened to what seemed to me like words which just... they penetrated my heart. I sat there in a sort of floating in joy. And it seemed to me that I knew everything that Mr. Krem was talking about, and everything made sense, and I kept sort of saying, yes, 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 it's right, it's true, it's wonderful. So since 1976, I've been involved, and yes, it's the joy of being able to give to others the sense of meaning, of purpose. There's a wonderful phrase that Benjamin Krem's master uses, which is lives sanctified by meaning. And that always appealed to me. So the sense that there is a plan, that we're living in a benign system, that things work towards the good, that they tend towards a sort of eternal justice, that there is a place for the good and the true and the beautiful, and that we can be so different and we can live so differently and have such different bases, such different fundamentals, ideas and norms for our lives, so that we become the real creative beings that we should be, living in harmony, etc. I know it sounds fantastic, and I know it sounds utopian to many people.
It doesn't sound fantastic or utopian. It sounds like what it's supposed to be.
How lovely that you say that. I mean, you've just had Thanksgiving in the States, and I'm just wondering if we ask people around the world, and there are, I think, something like 1 billion people in the world kind of permanently in a state of more or less starving.
Yes.
So there's 1 in 7 of us.
Right.
That's true. 1 in 7.
Yeah.
More or less starving all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've had Thanksgiving, but what do people like that have to be thankful for when we do have the resources in our world and we simply lack political will? And I'm so pleased that the young people in the world are telling our leaders that they're, that they're no good.
How powerful.
And they're not.
Yes.
Exactly. And not taking their responsibility. Yeah. And this is what we all have to do. Yeah. And it's not utopian. It's a question of let's put this into into effect. You know, we've known about this stuff for 2,000 years. We've said, love your neighbor as yourself, and so on.
Correct.
You need to make it practical now.
You know, I'm not a very religious person, but I am spiritual, and I think a lot of people can tag themselves accordingly. And this, to make people understand this, in many religions, they would call this the Messiah or a Savior or a Second Coming.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about that in those terms, but in that general definition in each person's religion, it is that. It is an individual or a thought that brings people together and changes everything.
Yes, I mean, Maitreya is the one expected in all major world religions as the coming teacher, either the return of the Christ, the Christians look for him, the Jews look for the Messiah, the Christians...
Whatever it may be.
Another
I mean, Julian, your father was able to telepathically have a relationship with Maitreya.
Yeah.
Have you found that you've been able to have that connection, or was that special?
Is it hereditary?
Yeah. Is it hereditary? Is it like arthritis?
I wish it was.
Okay.
It requires the ability to focus on the mental plane, to a considerable degree, and to develop spiritual sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that I'm on the way to that, but I'm nowhere near it yet.
Okay.
So
I heard Felicity in the background here.
Yeah.
Okay.
We both wish we had that sort of contact.
All right.
No, we don't, unfortunately.
Okay. It's fascinating, and Felicity, I understand what you went through, and I wish other people would as well. It's some, again, might call it religious, but it's an awakening is what it is, and it's a human awakening.
Yes,
and
it's what you said, Ron. It's the being able to have the freedom to live as yourself, really free and honest about being yourself, and being the spiritual being that you feel that you are at your core.
Yeah.
And that requires that we have the means to do so. And right now, a lot of people say things like, well, I would like to help, or I would like to do this, but I can't,
right.
Society's not like that. And that's what we have to break through now. We have to say, together with all of us, and that's why Maitreya and the Masters are so supportive of and really galvanize and encourage people power. I don't mean revolution, I don't mean bloody revolution, but I mean literally people power, which will carry us forward and show us the way to find together, collectively, the systems that work for us.
Sure.
We're working with old systems, and our consciousness, humanity, has outgrown those kind of old structures and old strictures. And we need to move forward to something new that really allows us to express what we are. And we are all divine, every single one of us.
Yes.
And everyone has something to contribute. So I don't know if you followed what's going on in, for example, Chile at the moment.
Yes.
And many countries. There are people getting together, not just demonstrating, because you know that often is a criticism. Oh, these people, they don't know what they want. What they're for, they know what they're against. Well, there are so many fantastic people getting together, just ordinary people, just people just like you and me, ordinary people around the world getting together and saying what they need on a local level, you know, new ways of doing things which will help the whole community, which makes sense, which is practical. And Maitreya is a modern man with practical solutions, and people should look for him and recognize him through what he stands for, because he stands for what is really deep in the hearts of every person.
Yeah.
We want peace. We want harmony. We want to be able to live and rightly in right relations with others. We need to be able to look at other people in the eye and say, I see you as a fellow human being. I see you as another divine being.
Yes.
Let's work together.
That's
what people should do.
Very, very good. Yeah, I mean, for those that, you know, may not understand Maitreya or be familiar, you don't have to know who that person is, but we do know who that person isn't. And that's how you drive this. I'm sure you've, you know, been interesting to many people here. How could they find out more about this entire subject matter?
Well, the first port of call is our website. That's share-international.org. Mm-hmm. They ought to know that we're currently rebuilding it. It's not very modern, so we're rebuilding it. Okay. Shortly, there will be a new website. So.
Very good.
But the address is share-international.org. There's also groups around the world. For example, in the States, you can go to share-international.us for news about local events there, lectures, workshops, and so on. And in Canada, share-international.ca.
Okay.
And on the websites, you'll find information about books and the magazine Share International and how to get hold of these.
Well, there you go. If you know how to Google and what that word means, and Share-International is going to bring you to all of them. Okay. It's always a pleasure speaking to you. I hope we can do it more frequently than once a year, and I'm sure we will.
Thank you so much.
Good to
and
talk to you.
Best wishes for the festive season and the new year.
Thank you. Same to the both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. I mean, interesting stuff. You know, wherever, whatever you think or stand on it, you can't definitively say anything to the contrary. It's interesting. Sometimes we need to expand our minds and get them off this two-dimensional tussle that we have on a daily basis and rise above all of that into a different kind of understanding. All right. Well, I told you it'd be a different kind of show, and I wasn't kidding around with that. Hey, on tomorrow's show, actress Kristen Chenoweth will be joining us. So tune in for that tomorrow. You have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace.